Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, just last night we read in this great message of truth for this hour, Brother Branham speaking of your coming at this time and the people turning down your message, referring to this coming and differentiation from that coming when you will come here in immortal flesh. But we're so glad you are here in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire, heading your church, leading it into the millennium, putting everything in order for that great day. Here to raise the dead. We're so grateful for that. We know these things, Lord. They're not foreign to us. We accept them. Surely, Lord, it's as seeing through a glass darkly yet at this point, because we're not prophets, but we can as children, the prophets. We do believe the prophets. And we thank you for that privilege of believing the prophets, believing this prophet you have sent in this hour. We know that he by vision saw you, Lord, in the form of a pillar of fire. We know that the camera took that same picture. And we being here, which we get us out of here, as the prophet said, everything under the seventh seal, under those thunders, was revealed to get us out of here and would get us out of here, put us in a rapture. We cannot thank you enough for it. We thank you for the faith of the people. Thank you for the Spirit of God that gave that faith through the Word. We praise you, Lord, that we're one people with one Word. And it shall be that way, Lord, because a bride is that way. We give you glory in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. You may be seated. Certainly can rejoice and be glad that the kingdom of God has come. It's born on earth. A virgin bride church was formed back about 1955 when those stars came into came together. And we're now a long way down the road. And that's very, very good. Now, this is number 22, the greatest battle ever fought. And you notice that Brother Branham said, "Thus saith the Lord." It isn't Russia, it's Rome. And it was the Roman kingdom that fought Christ, that tried to destroy him in his birth, a little tiny child. And Brother Branham said that in the second advent, which is the spiritual advent, that wherein Christ appeared down there at the river, bringing the message, which is the shout, of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, is persecuted by the Roman denomination. Now, let us understand this very flat. The Roman denomination per se, the Roman Catholic Church in its hierarchy, did not persecute Brother Branham. In fact, when Brother Branham passed away, it was a Brother Dale who gave an article to a friend of his who was an editor in a Roman Catholic paper. And the editor wrote a beautiful little obit concerning Brother Branham, that Rome is Babylon, and from Rome came the first organized church, the church that went into complete apostasy under Constantine, because he was no Christian. Politics combined with religion. You notice America has stood on religion apart from politics, but it's not so anymore. Now, we must understand this then, that Brother Branham is speaking of the whole system. He's not singling out the Roman Catholic Church as against the Greek Orthodox and saying, well, Roman Catholic's wrong and Greek Orthodox is a lot better. That isn't true. And he's not saying Roman Catholics are bad and the Protestants are good. That's not true. He said there's good in all of them. It's not the people, it's the system. And the system that we have today in the Protestants and the Catholics, whichever branch, and there's more than one branch, there's actually several branches, several movements within their movements. They all have the Babylonian doctrine of the Trinity. That was a Trinitarian club that kept knocking down what Brother Branham was trying to help. And then he grew his faith muscles for a small bride who is coming out. Now he said, "It is thus saith the Lord." Now watch, the Catholic hierarchy, with all the denominations in the world. She was a leader in organization. She will remain the leader in organization. But you will notice the Protestants have fostered and are pushing for the organization more than Rome. Right. They build the image. So be careful what you're hearing. See? The Catholic hierarchy, this is merely the seed. This is the form. This is the root for the whole tree. See? With all the denominations in the world, right now coming together as an organization, the Confederation of Churches organizing themselves together, it isn't Russia, it's Rome. And Rome typifies it all. Like the apple tree, with 57 different branches grafted into it. Here's a Rome, here's a snow, here's a banana, here's a northern spy, here's a Macintosh, here's a, you know, right down the line, a Granny Smith and a Pippin and all the rest, and the sheep noses and just dozens of apples. How many might be 200 varieties for all I know? And, just wonderful. But coming out of that central trunk, notice he says, it isn't Russia, it's the Confederation of Churches patterned and based on Rome with the logical headship of Rome. That's what it is. Thus saith the Lord. Now, we said last night that this is given to us as a preventive measure what's down the road. Now, he said to the unions, to the people, he said, it's okay to be in the unions now, but watch it when the church takes over. We had people, of course, who were previous. And I don't mind them being previous, but they usually turn out a pain in the neck. Because they look at, brother, sister, please just stick with the word as it comes. And I've seen especially one man I've got in mind where he's always fought the unions. Well, look. I'm not much of a union character myself. But remember, it isn't the working man that's condemned at the end of the age. It's the rich man that's being fostered right now in America, the only nation I know that allows business to swallow up business, which is joining land to land and house to house and is destroying the laborer. He can't get a job because there's no more jobs left because the money's not creating jobs. And 3% is controlling just about all the wealth. So look at, we're heading into something. Let's understand it. We're heading into it. I don't know when we're going to hit it. Now the warning is out this way. Now look at, before I talk about that, Rome is disintegrating as a power and authority over its people. Rome says we've got to have a bunch of nuns. The nun says, fooey on you. They're losing their priests. They're crumbling. Protestantism has crumbled. Now, how, under what conditions is Rome going to be able to operate and the churches able to operate and take this vast control that the scripture speaks of? It is simple as A, B, C. It's got to be by the money. It's got to be by a new system. System, not a religion, because religion is not working. Spirituality is not working because this is the time of Noah when 8 people go in the ark and the rest drown. So let's get the picture right and understand what he's talking about. So he said, all right, don't be with the unions when the church takes over. And remember, the Pope went to Geneva years ago to a large labor conference, and he said, you, Lord, workers are right. That's to, get them all down there where he's got them, anesthetized by smooth-talking words. But you watch that iron fist in there that came back way back in the days of Diana, way back from Babylon, that idolatry. Look at, Israel was carried captive into idolatry, into Babylon. They went in there with a priesthood. They went in there with a temple. They went in there with the word of God. They came back with a rabbinical order. They came back with a synagogue. They came back with the Talmud. And God's hated it ever since. It started with Nimrod and before Nimrod. And that's what you're looking at. And any bunch of history books will prove to you what Catholicism is all about and what Protestantism is all about. You see, that's what you got to understand. All right. we'll get to this, the scripture, in Revelation 18 as we read. But Revelation 18 will show you the world church system headed up in Rome. And what's wrong with that? It's got to have some place to have a head. Now God tells us where the head is. So hallelujah. It's not New York. Do you know when they got very shaky over there in Europe during the Second World War, and Italy looked like it was going to be completely annihilated, and maybe the Pope and his boys would be incinerated? You know where they're going to go? Plans were made to go to Quebec, Canada. Wasn't that stupid? God had other plans. No, he thinks he's going to win. God's going to win. He said it's Rome. And it's not just Roman Catholics now. Don't get that. It's not Greek Orthodox. No, sir. It's the whole church system. The Trinity system. I am sorry, in the sense of the word, to disabuse you and bring it down to such simple outline as the prophet did, but I've got to do it. It is simply organization. The Trinity system. False gods. And Brother Branagh said, Baptist, Methodist, witchcraft. He didn't say Roman Catholic that time. So get the picture. We're not fussing at anything here. We're just trying to let you know where it came from, where Brother Branham is teaching from the Word of God, and he was a prophet with "Thus saith the Lord." All was lined up with word, and he said, "One day I'll perish, but this word can't perish. And you younger people, if it doesn't happen in my generation, you'll see it. There's the thing." That's on page 56, the second paragraph from the bottom out. Did you hear the news this morning? Mrs. Kennedy going to see the Pope and what the Pope said. I don't remember what that was all about. All the religions of the world. That's true. You give me one reason why our president should defer to a leader in a church. You show me one reason why Gold in My Ear went to see him too. It wasn't very much gold in her ear either she got. She came out spitting tacks. Because the Pope pulled on her the same thing the Pope and the Catholic Church and even the Protestants now, I'm going to throw a word in there about it, have pulled on the Catholics and on the Jews, and that's blame them for the death of Jesus Christ and persecute them and get rid of them. Now, talking about that, I mentioned last night, and I think I'm correct in my understanding, which I understood years ago, that Germany has been a Protestant nation. Now, it might not be. But it was years ago. United States was a Protestant nation. It is no longer. The preponderance is with the Roman Catholics. Now, let's look at this picture. During the time of the Second World War, I believe it was Pope Pius, his name is, it was confronted with the evidence that the Jews were going to be destroyed under Hitler. It is known he took no steps. Now they're trying to whitewash him. But let's go to America here, under Roosevelt. We know absolutely that Roosevelt in the American government was appraised of the fact of what was going to happen to the Jews. What did they do? Nothing. There's your Protestants. So, what system is filled with the blood of the martyrs and the blood of the people of God? The whole system is. You can no longer look at Roman Catholicism and say, well, they took 68 million, as Smucker's Glorious Reformation tells, which they did. We know St. Valentine's Day. We know how they destroyed the Huguenots. We know all what they have done. We know that. Starting under the great St. Augustine, who said when Paul was raging against God, God struck him down to make him a convert. Therefore, the church must strike down to make converts. There's Catholicism. And Protestantism is the same thing, and you will see it. And you've seen it already. And that's the thing you've got to watch, is the complete organization. Because the blood of the martyrs is in the complete organization. And that's what I want to look at and get across this morning. And Rome will head it up. And they'll use a pope. You bet your life they will. He's the logical man. He's the beast that was and is not. But shall be, absolutely. There's no foundation to their doctrine. It's pagan. The popes keep coming and going, coming and going. Who puts them in? Does God put them in? Only indirectly. Man puts them in. God has his own popes, which are his own vicars and all. All right, now, there's what you're looking at. See, don't worry about Russia. Russia's a small pebble on the beach. Don't you worry about communism. You watch Romanism when it's uniting with the churches. Now, I don't know if you saw this man on TV. I was fortunate. I was in a motel at the time. I turned it on TV to get the news, and here was a Roman Catholic priest. I think he's a bishop. I wish I could remember his name. And he was being queried by the press. And he let the press know positively that we do have connections with Poland. That's the time of the uprisings and the problem over there. And they had problems also with the thinking. They're thinking that Russia would intervene. And this man said, Russia is not going to intervene. Well, they said, sir, how do you know? He said, because we have our legates in Moscow, and they have theirs with us, and we have an agreement that if we do not push them too far, and we do not fuss too much, they will not walk in. And Russia did not walk in. Now, let's face it. The whole country, the whole world has detente with Russia and what have you. The Eastern Bloc, call it what you want. There's your iron and your clay that isn't going to mix. They're at variance. And you know what? At this time of dictatorships, they're called kings, and democracies and so on. This is the hour when the rock will come down and smash the whole thing. Now, that is what you're looking at. And if you don't accept it, that is your business. But it's the truth. It's the word of God. Watch Romanism when it's uniting with the churches. Now, what holds Rome back at this time, when they're being, toadied to, is the communion. That's the whole thing. The Protestants are already Roman Catholics as far as doctrine is concerned, which is Trinity, which means they're in a false worship, and God will not accept it. You understand then this morning that there's only a handful of worshipers, because God will accept nobody outside of spirit and truth. Now, when you see all the organizational churches talking in tongues, which is nothing but a gift of the Holy Ghost. Nothing but a gift. It's not the Holy Ghost. And they call it the Holy Ghost. The whole world now has an anointing upon it. Just exactly what I said before the great and terrible day of the destruction. When the sun begins to blaze upon the earth. When man really is committing suicide by his own folly. Destroying himself by destroying the earth, the atmosphere, and the whole thing. It says at that particular time, there's going to be prophetic utterance sweep the earth. And he said, your sons and your daughters are prophesying, and mine also, by the same Holy Ghost. One is merely anointed, which is the multitude, and the few remainder are the true servants of God, because they are not simply anointed, they are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now you can see right today the Neo-Pentecostals, which start with the old hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. They're everywhere. And they brought the whole system together through the speaking in tongues, which are gifts of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible tells you that's the time that the Lord is present. And yet our own people who say they believe this message will make me a liar and a fool. I am no liar and I am no fool. I am telling you the truth. And you're not being led astray, not for 1 minute. We have to take our stand on the Word of God. Now, going and reading, he said, there's nothing written in Scripture about communism ruling the world. That's exactly correct. The deteriorated Roman Empire, brought back under the Papal Empire, is what is doing it. We'll read the 13th chapter shortly and we'll show it to you. And I go by the Word regardless of what anything else goes by. It's the Word that I believe. Now, you see, you're brought right back now to this understanding. Do you accept the Word, which is the greatest battle there is? See, Russia doesn't have, Rome doesn't have any atomic bombs. It doesn't need them. We've got them for it. It doesn't need any. Now, let the whole world dig and delve. They'll end up as slaves to her. We'll show you in the 18th chapter of Revelation. We'll get there after a bit. All right. It's Romanism that takes the world. Now, Romanism, again, is the terminology we're looking at. Embracing all. It's the mother of organization. There never was an organization till Rome. That's absolutely correct. Everybody knows it by studying history. And every one of them came out of her. That is 100% correct. Everybody knows that. Your newspapers will carry it. And the Bible said so. She was the mother of harlots. Okay. Now we go to Revelation chapter 18. 1-3. After these things, I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now that tells you exactly the condition of Babylon, which is Rome essentially embracing fondly the organizations that come into her. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now with that, the 9th verse, beginning. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, thy great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. You're wiped out. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of precious wood and brass and iron marble, and cinnamon odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruit that thy soul lusteth after departeth from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, wailing, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, thy great city was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and purple. 1 hour so great riches has come to nothing. What are they telling you here? The church owns it all. The church has got the scheme that will bring about prosperity and the flow of commerce. They're controlling commerce. Now, how are they going to do it? It's not going to be Italian money. They haven't got it. The lira doesn't mean a thing. It's American money. Controls 70% of the commerce of the world, backed by nothing anymore. Then how are they going to get out of the mess? Someone's going to have to provide the gold. You can talk all you want. Don't believe Roosevelt. He's dead. And he had a bunch of fools around him. They tried to make gold simply a commodity. You can't do it. There's got to be a standard. There's no legitimate reason for a standard. It's insane. It's nuts. Do you understand, remember the story of the Arabs out in the desert? A storm came up. They lost their camels and their water. They're crawling along in the desert in the heat of the day. And suddenly one of them spied a bag, a leather bag, that was just like a water bottle. And he was so happy. Salvation. He opened the top of the water bag, brought the water, and out came precious jewels and gems. And he cursed the wealth. It wasn't water. I'm trying to show you something here. Eat your diamond rings. Eat your fur coats. They won't taste very good. You'd give them both for a bowl of rice or Cheerios or something else. True wealth actually is what we raise and what we can do for ourselves and others. The whole system is crazy. It's insane. It's of the devil. And Rome has the gold. I never saw it, but they tell me down to the Basilica down here in Mexico, and I'm sure I was told that just one set of gates in that basilica weighed 22 or 15 tons apiece. See, there are 15 gates weighing 22 tons. I think it's 22 gates weighing 15 tons, and that's just one set. So they're going to control it all. And you're going to see at the return of the Lord, the whole thing's going to smash. So that's what you're looking at here. That's what the whole sad story is. Nothing you and I can do about it, but we're warned. Don't get entangled in it. Because starvation is preferable to selling out to the beast. And it says, no man can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And the beast is going to be a man. Well, the beast is actually a power. But it'll be with a man. All right. Now, he's warned us. When the enemy attacks with this, oh, I tell you, you ought to come and join our church. Now, listen, what's the mark of the beast? Forehead and hand. Now, what do you do in the forehead? Why did God give the phylacteries and said, now make a little box and put it on your forehead. It'll contain the word. And every time it ought to go boing, 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 keep you then aware of the word of God. So what does it stand for? It stands for you taking their doctrine that you must be a Trinitarian. Now look, I know what I'm talking about, or I wouldn't be telling you this. You cannot even join what the religious people have concocted as an organization to help your church get things cheap unless you sign, I believe in the Holy Trinity. You believe that? You better believe it because I'm telling the truth. I've been through the whole thing. Come on, kid. We're not talking something that's dead. We're talking about the truth. Organization demands that you be a Trinitarian. That's why they'll take a church like this and turn it into a library or something else. But they will take it. There's nothing you and I can do about it. You say, well, I'm going to do so-and-so. My property's clear. I'm glad your property, so is mine. But I'm not so stupid I don't know this. I can't pay my taxes unless I've got the money, and you'll kick me out if I don't pay the taxes. And right at this point, there's not one house in Logan County, or one in Allen County, or one in Auglaize, or in any county in America that hasn't got a mortgage on it by the school boards. So much for your thinking you're free. You're lock, stock, and barrel sold out to religion right from the pit. So what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to know this. Now, I'm belaboring this because Brother Branham said it, and I've got to belabor it because I am fearful with a godly fear that this is going to meet us head on. What are you going to do about it? Sit around and natter and pick nits now and go back in the past and mumble? That's what I said last night. It's time we had some changed temperaments around here from the pastor on down. No time to pick nits anymore. Stand with the truth. And I haven't vacillated. You've heard me all these years. I haven't changed one time, and I'm not about to change. I don't say, you listen to this preacher here, you're going to go to hell. And then turn around and deny another sermon. I stay logical all the way through. I stay right with this word. If this word you've heard me preach, if this word doesn't do it, it's not going to be done, my brother, my sister, because I am not going to raise a hand to try it. I'm too defeated. I'm too depleted. My hip hurrah in the camp doesn't mean one thing unless it's a shout of God and his empowered word. You haven't got a chance, and neither do I. All right. Oh, come and join our church. Then we'll take care of you. They'll be real sweet about it. No doubt they'll say, well, look, you don't have to starve. We're trying to be good to you. That's what the devil said. Eve, you don't have to be this way. You shall not surely die. Why? I just got the loveliest way to get you out of this mess. So he comes in with flatteries. The Bible mentions the flatteries. Oh, you don't need to worry. The days when we used to put the Protestants in leather bags and with snakes and throw them in the water. Oh, that's passive. We wouldn't consider that. No, no, no. Certainly you wouldn't. You'd just let them starve by themselves, wouldn't you? Protestants got, it's all over the world, brother, sister. Why do you think Roosevelt stood by when he had those letters, let the Jews die? America. Brother Branham said, all her shame and all her glory is ours, and assure the truth. We've got some history, haven't we? What are you going to do? Back down? Now, what do you mean back down? Well, this church has taken a stand against these things. Now, when the issue hits us in the face, are we going to back down? And very, very fortunately, it wouldn't do me any good to back down. It's all on tapes. They're scattered hither, thither, and yon. Compromise? Well, we really didn't mean it. That will bend a little. Not a real soldier won't. What real soldier that understands what we're talking about? Romanism. Ecumenism. Organization. Hierarchical government. Laodicean tactics. What do we do then? Real soldiers, he won't do it. No, sir. What do we do then? The mind. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Is that what the Bible said? The mind that was in Christ be in you? What kind of a mind did he have? To stay with the Word. What's the Word today? The mighty messenger came down and said, come out of her, my people. And don't have a thing to do with her. Because she's going to be destroyed. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. That's right. Stay with the Word, the Father's Word, and defeated the enemy every time. Now, this is the mind age, brother. And by what Brother Branham is saying here, I am led to belabor the point, as I've already said, this is very important to you and me today to understand our enemy is Satan in the church, and it started in Rome, and Rome must take over. Now, let's find out what Brother Branham said about it as we go to Revelation chapter 13. Now, here's what we're looking at. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Here's Daniel's vision all over again. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Blaspheming God. Notice, in other Revelation said names. Blasphemous names. What are you? I'm Methodist. I thought you were Christian. I'm Roman Catholic. I'm Greek Orthodox. I'm Pentecostal. Why, I'm Baptist. I'm Seventh-day Adventist. Hallelujah, I'm Jehovah's Witness. Who told you? Where did you get that from? Right in the first church you started under Paul. Well, I said, I'm a Peter, right? Hallelujah. I'm Paul, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I believe in Barnabas. Praise Jesus. Paul said, yeah. Were they crucified for you? What has your church done for you? Tell me. Go on, think it over. What's it done for you? Wait a while. I'm sorry these sermons drag. Another 6 or 7 sermons we might get finished, but I'm sorry about that. But we've got to take our time. We've got to see what's in here. Because Brother Branham said this was the stored up food. This was life. This is what's going to get us out of here and keep us from problems. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like unto the feet of a bear. Daniel's vision all over again. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, here's somebody, here's a kingdom, here's an authority granted by the enemy of our souls, which is Satan. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that was ancient military Rome falling. Remember the Goths and the Visigoths literally destroyed him. That Rome fell as a world empire. But the wound is healed under papal Rome. And she's got her tentacles in every place in the world. The Pentecostals were certainly amazed when a man came over from Yugoslavia many years ago. He entered a church, I think it was in Montreal, if I remember correctly, but I'm not positive, someplace in Quebec. And there he saw a man that he knew in Europe. A man of influence in the congregation. A man of power and authority. And he said to the preacher, do you know who that man is? He says, certainly. He said, he's been here for several years. He's a great man. Gave him all the points. He said, that man was a Roman Catholic priest and is a Jesuit from Czechoslovakia. Who do you think walked into Galdona's church one day without the collar on backward? And heard Galdona absolutely run down, but show what Catholicism was into and up to. They introduced themselves at the end of the message to Roman Catholic priests. And they said, Reverend Galdona, we enjoyed your message very much, very inspirational and very illuminating. They will pay their price for ecumenism, and the Protestants will too, and they will come together. And this is the thing that's going to shock your mind. Why would the devil be interested to destroy a handful of people when he's got the whole bunch in his midst? Now think it over. Now think it over. I can hardly think it over. I haven't got a grasp of it, I'll be honest with you. I've got a small little trickling in my mind that says that's exactly right. But I cannot at this moment estimate, hold your finger, go back to Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, first chapter, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. I can't fathom that. But that's in the shout. That's right. And the devil wants to see it die. We hold a key, according to Hebrews, that they cannot be made perfect without us. There's a song that says he's got the whole world in his hand. That's a lie. He's not interested. He's got the itty bitty baby. He's not interested. He's got a bride. He's interested. There must be then truly stated that all that was in God is now wrapped up in this bride in this hour. It puts you in a state of shock. As I said last night, it's going to take a whole lot more than we've been looking at on the surface. When you take what Brother Branham said and carefully analyze it and lay it out before us, as God did through this end-time minister and prophet, and look at that which is so literally, as it were, cut and dried, they were all in a tube, like Brother Branham was. And you come back and say, well, then what is it all about? Why does God find fault? But who are you, O man, to reply against God? Shall the thing say to him that formed, why hast thou made us? Cannot the potter of the same lump make a vessel unto glory and one unto dishonor? Honor, dishonor. What if God, willing to show his mercy upon the elect, did such and such? For he said, except I send Elijah, I'll utterly destroy. And the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man, God, but it comes by a prophet. You begin to see, brother, sister, what a price Brother Branham must have paid to receive a revelation. And what a price we may still pay. Still pay. To get the heart of this revelation. Wherein he told that I would sooner have perpetrated upon me the curse and the acts of the Knights of Columbus than spend 3 minutes in the Great Tribulation. Many people say that document is not an authentic document. I challenge that any day of the week, knowing what St. Augustine said. And if he was a saint, I'm not interested. He turned down the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But then what did Calvin do? He turned down the dynamic revelation of one God, and the man was committed to the state. Now where's the Protestant? Where's the Catholic? Now here's what we're looking at, brother and sister. Now why did Brother Branham preach it if it's not so? Why wouldn't he just casually say, well now folk, a little something over here I'd like you all to hear, seeing I'm in Kentucky. Now you all sit very quiet while I just tell you how the devil tokes one in on you. Oh no. Never knew a more serious man in my life. All right. His head was wounded. Rome went down and has come back. And anybody dare deny that Rome has come back is a fool. Categorically, I repeat, he is a fool. And I'm not necessarily referring to the scriptural fool, because it said there is no God. I'm referring to the fact the man is a self-induced idiot who refuses to read history or any handwriting on the wall, who's as gullible as Belshazzar was. When Daniel came in and said, your kingdom is gone, it's shot, it's finished. He said, this man's a marvel. Bring him the best robe in the house and make him third ruler in my kingdom. And Daniel said, you idiot, you ain't got a kingdom. How foolish can man be? Smart grandson of the greatest king that ever lived, of the world. Not Solomon, now I'm talking about the world. Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar. People say, well, how then can Rome be that one? If you don't understand by now, I've told you enough, that there isn't a person, even the Jews went to the Pope. And there's nobody who hasn't gone to the Pope. And there isn't anybody who doesn't want the Pope to intervene. And you tell me Rome isn't back where it was. Rome is bigger than it ever was. Because now she doesn't have to fight with the sword. She's got it all made with the politics of religion. She's wounded, but she's alive today. And all the world wondered after the beast. You watch how she grows in power. They worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and able to make war with him? How can you make war with Rome? How come during the Second World War, it wasn't bombed out of existence? The Anzio Beach had everything else where men were dying around the country. Why didn't they help the Jews? Why didn't Roosevelt help the Jews? America sat back and pumped billions of dollars everywhere but into Britain. She had to give up her base and everything she had. Start the fall of an empire. Yeah, America did. It's a great heritage we got in this country, isn't it? Still, it's the best there is. There is given unto him a mouth speaking great blasphemies, great things and blasphemies. The power given him to continue 42 months, the 3.5 years. He opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in it. He's already done it. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not a name. Titles. Was given him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. Power was given him over kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. His name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. And slain from before the from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go to captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. America. Out of the earth. He had horns like a lamb. Two horns. Excuse me. Two horns of a lamb. The ecclesiastical and the civic. Notice, like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast to form and cause the earth, and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders. He maketh fire come down from heaven and the earth in sight of men. It could be that, I don't know what that's all about. But it doesn't matter. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by the sword and did live. All right, the image, of course, is the hierarchical system here in America made by the Protestants. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that the many who would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I want to ask you a question. Where did the Marshall Plan go with American money? It went right to Europe, which was Catholic, and saved it from the communists. What you want to do sometimes is do what a Baptist preacher did. He took a map. Everywhere that Catholicism was, both the Greek and the Roman, he put it in purple. Then he took that purple map, laid it out, cut it out, and put it red. And exactly where Catholicism was, communism came. Because communism rises against the order of Catholicism and oppression and gets its own kind. Feel the oppression of the system. It's a system that's come down, and the church is going to do it. Now you see, people are not going to believe this. The church is utterly convinced that it is communism they're fighting. It is not communism. Pogo said it well. The enemy is us. All right, he causeth all, both small and great and rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark on their right hand, their foreheads, and no man might buy or sell that didn't have the mark of the beast. In other words, you join the church, you must believe what it says, you must do what it says, and then you'll be completely free. Now, the 17th chapter of Revelation, it says there came one of the seven angels that talked, the seven vials, and talked me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, inhabitants of the earth, and have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And she carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. You see, it's a continuation of Daniel. And the prophet tells us today how that continuation took place. It is papal Rome as against the legitimate monarchical Rome, where they had a monarchy, a kingdom. But you got the same force and the power. It was pagan then, it's pagan now. The woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and so on. On her forehead is written, Mystery Babylon the Great. The mysteries explain what it is. The mother of harlots explains what it is. The abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration. And the angel, where did you marvel? Why did you marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. And Brother Branham categorically led us through and caused us to understand, thus saith the Lord. Now here is where you might be tested and tried. How much of Brother Branham's message is thus saith the Lord? I take every single word. Because a prophet cannot tell a lie. A prophet does not have a mind of his own. A prophet cannot say his own words. And that is proven by the very Bible you say you believe. Because when Isaac lifted his hand to bless Jacob and Esau, and Jacob had tricked him, there was no need to trick him. There is no such thing as a false contract which will stand in the court of God. Yet when he laid his hands upon Jacob, thinking he was Esau, God cannot be tricked. And God spoke through that man, Isaac. Pronounced the blessing. And when Esau came, and Isaac knew he was tricked by a human being, he knew he was not tricked by God. And he said, what I said will be. Now you know no God and no judge in anybody, unless he's an absolute perverted crook, would ever stand behind anything that was pure chicaneries, that was. Pure fraud. I want you to notice, a man of God, a prophet, it's impossible. Balaam opened his mouth to curse Israel, and nothing but blessings flowed out. And he was a false prophet. He had a true gift of prophecy, but he himself was a false man. See, stay with this word. We're looking at this mind age. Now, when the enemy attacks and tries to say you got to do this and do that, and he's talking about this condition that's coming on the earth, what are you going to do? Stay with the word. That's right. What are you going to do then? Take the word. What is the word? The Bible said here, we just read it. For the Spirit is of God, is the word. What's he talking about there? Well, the Spirit that is of God will stay with the Word of God, or you don't have the Spirit of God. You just have an anointing. It's just like that you're born today with human life. But also, if you're born, if you've something from God, you've got that divine spark in there. But you see, that's why you got to be born again. The Spirit of God uniting with that down in there, that little seed, to bring forth Christ in you. So now, see, look here. And take the helmet of... No, he said, for the Spirit is of God, is the Word. See, look here. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. What's the Spirit that comes in through your mind and enters into you? And the sword of that Spirit is the Word of God. Now, what does that Spirit fight with? What does the Holy Spirit fight with? Sensations, feelings, the Word. Glory, glory, he says. Now, just a minute here. This is something to think about when he's talking about the Spirit. Now, let's go back, first of all, to Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, and the 19th verse. Now, here's a verse of Scripture totally misunderstood. Oh, Ezekiel. No, it's got to be the 11th chapter. Yeah. And I will give unto them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. Now, this many people think is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It is not. You cannot be born again until, first of all, you have a new spirit. It takes that new spirit of God to come into you, and it's not the Holy Ghost. It's just a work of the Spirit upon you in order that you can be in a condition to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why you see the hundreds and millions of people that are religious. They're fine people. They come this far, but they don't come any further. And it's proven by the fact because they cannot receive the Word. See? Now, you've got to have, first of all, a spirit from God to literally change the spirit within us, which is not the Holy Ghost, but to bring us around to the place where we can have and know the things of Almighty God. Then you go to Acts 2 and 38, which is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you do receive the Holy Ghost. Now, then this perfect faith, which we have today, will change our soul and our own spirit and give us an entirely different atmosphere, which is one of learning and believing and yieldedness to the Word of Almighty God. Now, you will notice in here that Brother Branham is speaking to the people who not only need the message to enlighten their minds and their hearts to know the things of God for this hour, but he is also speaking to the people who need healing. Not just healing, but there's problems in their homes, as he often illustrated. Men and women coming to him, even in the breakdowns of marriage and children and so on. Other problems which may concern your livelihood, which may concern not just the physical aspects of your life, such as healing, but may, in many cases, the mental aspects. Now, he is speaking there concerning the whole church and the individuals. So what I'm leading up to is this. In the language of modern health, this expression is called holistic healing. And it's not W-H either, it's just H-O-L. And it's a dealing with the complete man so that you recognize that you cannot at any point divorce your body from your soul. Now let it sink in. You cannot divorce or erase your spirit from your body or your soul. That's why Paul said it is necessary to come to the place of understanding and believing and receiving the entire sanctification of the body and the soul and the spirit. And John said, I wish above all else that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, knowing that the soul cannot prosper apart from a spirit delivered and revealed word, which comes by God's own spirit through the human mind, the brain, and the mind, human spirit, down into the soul. So, there is no such thing for us to be looking at anything other than the complete picture in this hour when we're talking about the greatest battle that has been fought, is being fought, and will yet be fought. You've got to take the doctrine, brother, sister. And I mean understand that doctrine. And that's why Brother Branham is so misunderstood, because they don't know the doctrine. They only know the quotes. And they end up exactly as was said on a test, in a high school test. Name the Ten Commandments in any order at all. So the kid put down 4, 1, 7, 3, 10. And that's the Branham people and the Branham message. Quote, 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 and don't know the doctrine. They simply don't know it. They didn't know when Brother Branham was living and died within a few weeks. They don't know it now. I'm going to tell you something. You had better not just know the quotes. You had better know the Word of God. That's why the board was tested those weeks, to find out if we had a board in this church that knew a little bit about something. And that goes for everyone in the pew. That's why you talk this word every place you can possibly talk it. I'm guilty the same as you are. We don't do it half enough. I do my thinking, I do my talking here. That's not near enough. There's got to be a whole lot more. Now listen, let's go to Isaiah. That's a lovely book, Isaiah. That's the greatest book in the... Well, it's not the greatest book in the Bible. It's one of the truly great books, because it's all one great big book. Okay, we're going to read 2-6. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, what do you mean he nourished and brought up children? Sound like he gave them corn and wine, which he did. That's true. In the cycle of nature. This sounds like he might have used a lot of manna, fortified with cod liver oil or something like that. No, he didn't. He just gave him the word. Now watch. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. That's where it starts. And the whole heart faints. Gets right down in the guts. The ticky part. From the sole of the foot to the head. Now you're in the physical. No soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment, leading your condition to the company to be desolate. So on. Here's what we're looking at. Brother Brown has said that sweet spirit of Christ coming more and more into church until there's not a feeble one left. Let me tell you, this message is our healing. This message is our life. Let me tell you, brother, sister, it's going to put us into the resurrection without dying. It's going to get us in the millennium without a scratch. That's why we teach word, 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 and nothing but word. And we don't do one half enough. We could meet every single day of the week for 1 hour and a half. It wouldn't be too much. because you got to get your inspiration from somewhere. You've got to get your food from somewhere. Brother Branham even said, you feed the Christ within. What feeding does Christ need? He evidently needs plenty of nourishment. Like he quoted the old Indian. The Indian said, well, he said, since I got saved, two dogs fight inside. White dog, black dog. He said, chief, tell me, which dog wins? He said, the one I feed most. I see holistic healing is here. The holistic healing starts with the doctrine. The prophet with the revelation that's vindicated. Listen, brother, sister, I'm telling you the truth. My life is based upon it. Oh, God, I can't prove anything, and neither can you. But if this doesn't tell us something, then what does? Some dead, half-baked religion? I had it as kids your age, what? Even 15 and 16, I was forced to join the church. Thank God I never took communion. Didn't know why, but I didn't. Thank God. That preacher, he was the most ridiculous man I ever knew in my life. He couldn't preach for sour apples. I'd sit there cussing God and him under my breath and pulling the wings off of flies to have a little entertainment. I'd save my Sunday's going to go down and rob the drugstore. I bought one, I'd take out two in my pocket. When I got old enough to be a little decent citizen, which I certainly wasn't, he said, son, he said, oh, you're going to join the church. He said, do you ever hear anything in my message? He said, to draw it, make you something or other. I couldn't lie. Well, I said, maybe it's the spring weather, but I said, maybe this. I couldn't tell the guy I'd ever heard one thing he ever said in any sermon that meant anything, because it was death, death, death. But as a 4-year-old, 3-year-old, 6-year-old kid sitting in the on the front row of the old Presbyterian church, old Brother Langell, old Doc Langell, that godly man, speaking the truth, I didn't understand a word, but I knew that he knew God. You know, brother, sister, you're not dead. There's got to be life somewhere. It's been proven to us. I look to what we have here and nothing else. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's a holistic doctrine. Yeah, that's why a lot of us aren't being healed. I don't make a lot of healing. I can't do it. And age doesn't have a thing to do with it. Age doesn't have one thing to do with health, my brother, my sister. No way, shape, and form. We can die like old Jacob, just as healthy as a coot. Just suddenly draw his feet up on the bed and say, well, it's time to go. Goodbye, children. He's off, gone. Swing low, sweet chariot. People just don't rise to the occasion. They don't see what's here. See? How great it would be to understand his inheritance in us and then treasure each one of us as jewels. Brother, sister, we would not be out of line if we treasured each other as jewels of Christ, but we don't do it. Now, come on, be honest this morning. I look you all in the eye. I got no trouble looking in the eye. I know you like you know me. We're a bunch of frauds. Too much of the time. How many men cherish their wives as sisters? That's the laugh of the century, right even here. A little tough on you? How many of you wives treat your husband as a brother? I'm not trying to be hurt to anybody. Look, I'm trying to show you something that lies here. That we can aspire to and have by the grace of Almighty God. And somebody's going to have it. We don't have to have it. We can muck around. Sure. Mucky, mucky. Don't see many stars, brother, sister, looking in the muck and the mire. Got to look up. What value our souls to God that he paid that price and sent a messenger? The blessed Holy Spirit came down himself dealing with the prophet to give us a break. My, what grace. You talk about grace, we don't even know the meaning of grace at this point. See, but we're going to know. He said, what does the Holy Spirit fight with? Sensations and feelings. Forget it, it's the word. Now, once again we learn, we are to fill the mind with the word given by God. And that word is given specifically in the Bible
for the necessity or necessities that devolve upon you. It's not just a general word. No. Like he says, who healeth all thy diseases, the same time he forgives all your iniquities. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. What a great testimony. So we're to fill our minds with the word given by God for each necessity and every battle, and use that word the same as Jesus did. It is written. And believe it's ours, written for you and me. Like Brother Branham said, quoting that boy that was dying on board ship. I forget whether it was the boy or the old fella anyway. I think Newton told the story. Amazing slave trader man, became a man of God. He said, God's love the world. He said that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. And he said, I'm glad he didn't put my name in there, somebody else's name in there. Because whosoever means anybody. We're looking at that this morning. Now, what does it say here? Healing. Word. Word. That's what I said. Say it, he said to the congregation. Word. Word. So they answered back. The word of God is what the Spirit fights with. In other words, that Spirit that has now anointed the mind changed your own spirit into receiving Jesus the Christ as your Savior, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, that Spirit that is in there, a composite, composed of yours and God together. He's joined the Lord as one Spirit. And I always ask the question, did your spirit make God's spirit dirty, or did he make your spirit like his? You got your pick and you got the answer. Now that Spirit begins to move out. And when it does, it always moves with the Word. Now the channels which receive through the senses are now to be used for the Word. Stopping those channels from anything but the Word, then transformed by the Holy Ghost, the Word comes forth in power. That's how you saw Brother Branham. Now you got a real Christian, brother, sister. Now you've got, and we better circulate that in the church here, that prophetic writing of Brother Branham's in spoken words, original seed. Because somebody, which is the bride, is going to be there with it. Now, remember, it must be the truly revealed Word of God. Now let's watch it. In Matthew 15 and verse 6, and honor not his father's mother shall be free. Now that's their creed and their dogma. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, what is he saying here? Tradition destroys the effect of the Word. Then what if you and I, by the grace of God, get a truly revealed Word? Nothing can stand before it. That's what the prophet is trying to tell us, and that's what this message is trying to tell us from perfect faith on. The perfect faith of Hebrews 13 and 8 dynamizes every scripture that comes under the covenant of promise of God to you and me for our good. Whatever that good should be. Broken limb? Oh, look, my heavens. Way back in the days, old Fred Hardy. No, Fred, that was his brother. Had a lovely daughter. Two lovely daughters. You know, one day, now he was a Roman Catholic, got full of the Holy Ghost, became a Pentecostal, wonderful man of God in Saskatchewan, Canada. And that little girl broke her leg. And you could actually see the bone had come through. And she said, well, Daddy, you preach healing all this time. She said, I can't go to a doctor. I don't think that would honor God. And it was icy outside the church. They prayed for that girl. You couldn't see one trace. Not a break on the skin, nothing. You x-rayed the bone, there was no break. See, the dynamization, brother, sister, is what counts. Now, that is a minor compared to immortality. But where do you change the scripture that says, if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? We're a little stagnant here. We're slow building. We're going to get there, though. Don't worry. We're going to get there. We're getting there. You're piling word upon word. Let's go to Proverbs 28. Psalms, Proverbs. Little book after Psalms. If I can just get my Bible apart here. And see, what did I want here? 28. Yeah, right close to it now. And the ninth verse, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, or the word, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now you're getting to the holistic approach. Well, I'm going to the doctor, and I've got problems. And the doctor says, well, now, look, I got news for you. I can't heal you, and the body heals itself. So what we got to do is take some time to build your body up. Then you won't have your trouble anymore. So my goodness me. I didn't think it was going to be quite that way. Now the Bible says the same thing. The holistic approach. The whole revealed word of God. And with it are these, in Hebrews 13:8, lies, Mark 16, and the other scripture. And God is saying to you and me, look, you believe that word of this hour. And when you thoroughly build up the inside to the outside, you will receive the benefits that lie in it. But we say, now, Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, we just like to take a little detour here, a shortcut, rather. And I want this thing to happen to me, and I really do, and I believe I can have it all right. But I just don't see this other step. You know, that's not going to work. Not going to work. So you listen again now, I'm telling you. Talk this word. Make sure you're into this word. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let's go see something here. It's very, very vital. Brother Branham exposed this as perhaps the greatest exposition of his entire ministry of warning. 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name cast out devils, and thy name done wonderful works? And he doesn't say they didn't. And I'll profess I never ever knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. How can you say iniquity? You are supposed to stand there to see the sick healed. You are supposed to cast out devils. You are supposed to speak in tongues. You are supposed to prophesy. It is incumbent upon you, as the prophet said, every church should have all nine gifts in ministry. How can that be iniquity? By being off the word, the same as Cain was. Sacrificing apart from a true revelation. Now, brother, sister, when you and I get truly holistic in this message, you say, well, it's ecumenism. No problem. Understand idolatry. There's the three gods. There aren't any three gods. Understand how God deals in the end time. He sends Elijah. You begin to inculcate into your being the doctrinal truth. Then and only then are you in a position to move to the exterior and be a wholly qualified child of God. And then in that day, see, I cast out devils. Yes, you did, truly, truly. Come in, my beloved servant. While he casts out many others who never make the grade in the mark. Now, that's what you're looking at. We must become thoroughly holistic. Our approach must be what it is. See? We wrestle not, my brother, sister, with flesh and blood. That's true. This I'm quoting, not Brother Branham. I'm just reading my own notes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood and what it produces, but the spirit that gets behind or motivates that flesh and blood. Brother Branham had his problems with that. Don't tell me. I know. I'll never forget. Long as it was before my eyes right now, 1958 in Maine. In Portland, Maine. In the month of May, close to the 30th, getting down toward the end, as I recall, we turned on the TV to see Oral Roberts. There on the screen was the crowds of thousands. And Brother Branham looked at me and wept. He said, Seely, I could have all of that, but God doesn't want me to have it. Where is Oral today? Held hostage by God for $4 million. It's the laugh of the century. God holding a man hostage for $4 million. Who did Oral Roberts hear from? I wonder. I'm not here to run the man down. I'm letting you know something, brother, sister. Something is radically wrong out there. The prophet knew. He said to his sister, his wife one day, Sister Meady. They came home and they looked at the hardwood floor. The guy had done a lousy job on his house. I wouldn't be in that man's boots on judgment day. Brother Branham came back with a $25,000 offering from Canada, a love offering they just gave him gratis up there in Calgary. Because I think it was Calgary, Alberta. He said, Brother Branham, you're going to have this for a house. He gave it to a man and said, here, I've got money for a house. Build me one. You should have seen what the guy built him for $25,000. When Banks Wood pulled apart the porch, there weren't 2x4s, Pete. There was 1x4s. You talk about a mess. The hardwood floors were pulling apart. And she said, Bill, that's just terrible. The way things are, dirt getting the cracks, everything else. Well, he said, Meaty, if I did what the others did, made the gift pay, we'd have it a whole lot better. I heard him talking. A friend of mine had a furniture factory and lots of carpeting and things. And I said, Harry, you love Brother Branham like I do. What do you say we try to put a carpet on his floor? So Harry and I took a trip down there and began measuring the floor. And Brother Branham goes, what's it going to cost? What's it going to cost? I said, Brother Branham, it doesn't cost you anything. This is a gift. Put new carpets on the floor. That's what you want. That man never saw the message, but you know, don't sell him short. There's such a thing as a second resurrection. Where they come up. Yep. All right. The Spirit of God walks right up to the devil and says, it is written. Amen, it is written. And the devil goes away. Now, can we accept this as truly factual? Brother Branham had a vision of the serpent. The Word of God crystallized him, made him go up like in blue smoke, just shatter. Then he said, bring him back. In other words, we're looking at something here. You and I are going to have testings and trials, but we can overcome them one by one and get stronger thereby. And the devil does not need to defeat us because he himself is a defeated foe in a bluff. And that's exactly true. So to know the truth of the doctrine, to stand with thus saith the Lord, to come against what is known as human intelligence and even human integrity. Because these men that cast out devils in majority are honest, sincere people. But you cannot depend upon human integrity. Today we have the option of going that way or believing divinely inspired and vindicated word. I prefer the latter. I don't say I've got a down pat. You're not looking at a paragon of virtues here. No, you're not. I admit it's not for no reason at all. They say you don't look at Brother Vale's flesh, you look beyond him and see the gift. I don't like that thought because I'm not really that bad a person in the sense I'm out there whoring around and trying to cut a rug and mess people's lives up, which I am not. They're trying to lead you astray and take you in bondage. I've never done it and never will. But I tell you, it's the truth. The flesh isn't up to much. Thank God it's getting weaker where I can't be quite as sinful. If you know what I mean. I never have drunk and smoked in my life, but you can be even less now. Or run around and chased around. What do we do? Take the sword, which is the word of God, and pull it with what? A hand of faith. Strong hand of faith, that two-edged sword. In other words, the vindication theorem. See? Now look. You haven't memorized, and I haven't either, but it's working on me. Thank God it's working on me. Let's go back and read. How much time we got, son? Not much time? Oh, well, we got maybe a couple of minutes. Okay. I'll read it to you, and then we'll quit. Okay, here's John again. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. Moses did not have that. He had this. Paul did not have that. He had this. And Paul was a greater apostle than any. And Moses was the greatest prophet ever lived. Never handled it. Saw by vision the pillar of fire. Talked face to face. John handled. He said the life was manifest. There it is again. We have seen it. There it is again. And bear witness. There it is again. And show unto you that eternal. How? By telling them. You see with your ears, my brother, sister. You do not see with your eyes. When it comes to the gospel, you see with the anointed ear. Okay. Which was manifested unto us, that Logos. What that we have seen and heard declare unto you. We thoroughly explain it. That you also may have fellowship with us. Now, what fellowship do they have? With the Father and His Son. Well, they said, John, here's the beautiful thing about it, you know. I've got fellowship with the Father, and it just may be I'll drop your name to the Father. Well, that's very good for American puffed-up society. That doesn't go with the Word. He said, I want to introduce you to Him and get you to know Him the same as I know Him. You follow what I'm saying? Now listen to me, brother, sister. It's God's truth this morning. Though I don't have thus saith the Lord, I've got thus saith the Lord here. That if you and I believe, Brother Branham, we enter into the same fellowship by believing the Word. I never saw the pillar of fire. Flared across the wall in his front room as I sat there with Brother Branham and Sister Branham. He said, do you see it, Lee? And I said, no, Brother Branham. But I see the man who sees it. That little statement right there, brother, sister, will carry me all of my life because it was the right thing to say. I am not interested in seeing the pillar of fire. It'd be nice if I did, but I'm not interested. I want the Bible, brother, sister, what's for me. And John said, what I tell you about, you can have too. Not to handle him, not to see him, but to have fellowship. This then is the message. We heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, my brother, my sister, the thicker you and I get in this word as it is brought from this pulpit because I am ordained to do it, you will begin to enter your fellowship. I've tried to tell you for years and I'm telling you again, do you want it or don't you want it? Let me tell you this. This will help you. We have people walk in here. And I say, is this spirit the same as you got in your church? And they say, no. If a sister can walk in this church after three services, no longer cry, no longer is nervous, is no longer sick, and that right, Carol Sue, is not the same anymore. Tell me what's doing it, not Lee Vale. He can't even do it for himself. It's got to be one thing, it's word, 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 word. And anybody a doorknob could preach the same word if was anointed to do it. We got you people here sitting as living witnesses. What did it? There's only one thing doing, and that's the word of God that's filled with the life of God. Proving the Bible. Let me tell you, let us stand with this. It is passive, passive, passive. Let it din into the minds and get down in there. Until our prayers are no longer an abomination, but giving back to God what God gave us. As Brother Branham said, the bride ministers to the husband what the husband provided. And so it becomes a bride church, brother, sister. Well, you've learned a couple things in two messages. Basic is number one, passive faith as contradistinctive to active faith, which is the same faith. Merely number one is Hebrews 13 and 8. The other is what you stand on as individuals. But you see how important it is for the church to get together, brothers, sisters, never before. not to hinder faith and not to hinder the things going on, but absolutely to facilitate it. God help you this morning, and God help me. People here could be healed. People could be blessed beyond measure. Just to simply stand with the Word of God until we're saturated from the innermost to the uttermost. The holistic approach. When you see what happens to people, just even one person coming in, one person right with God and away from the obnoxious things of this world, and it's worth 1,000,000,000 years. And we've had no sacrifice in doing. We've had nothing but sheer joy and pleasure. Still we've ranted and raved at times as though God were not a good God. It's time to get down, brother, sister, to reality. And I'll keep saying it until one day the precious Word of God turns loose within my heart and your heart, because we're getting out of here. We're not getting out of here as though someone could not be in our arms and in our heart to go with us. We're going to get out of here with treasures, the same treasures that Jesus came for, that we might know the riches of His inheritance in the saints, because we are that inheritance. To see Jesus Christ formed and forming. It's hard, I know. You can't look at me too much and get too much of Him. But if you listen to the Word and put a mask over my face or hear me over a tape, stay away from me entirely, you might begin to see something in the Word that's not of Lee Vale. Begin to understand. Because it doesn't matter what He's got in the sense of what He is. That isn't it. It could hinder God. That's true. But a pure Word is what we want. Let's rise and be dismayed. Gracious eternal Father God, we thank You again for love and life and all those things which are in Christ Jesus our Savior. To begin to see this, Lord, as never before, but oh God, the more we see, the more we lack. Until we wonder what we have seen, how can we see infinity? How can we see greatness, oh God? You never made us that way to apprehend it all, for no man can see God and live. But yet we can see in Your Word, Lord, and as You reveal it to us, then, oh God, we can grow in this grace, this life which is in Christ. Father, this morning we pray we not only stirred up in service this morning, but stirred up tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, oh God, until the gentle breezes of life turn into the hurricane of Almighty God, sweeping all the debris and everything away like a hurricane going over water, takes all the water to one side and swooshes it all back on the other side, leaving nothing, as it were, there, Lord. As You pass over us and pass in us, round about us, take away debris from this side, take it away from that side, O God, till nothing is left but what You Yourself can breathe upon, Lord, and use. As Your own Word said, everything is going to fall at this time. This voice speaks, this voice from heaven speaks on earth here in the seven thunders. All those things, organization, denomination, man's creedal instincts and thoughts, all those things are going to go down, and the Word of God remains. O God, in our hearts we want it. Lord God in heaven, we ask You humbly this morning, will You just be so good as to endue us this morning with power? Just even a little bit, Lord, just a modicum, Lord, just a little tiny bit of dust, as it were, to just have a taste, Lord, and want to go on more and more with this whole system denuded of all that is in there that's against us, Lord. We don't want us to be, we don't want to be blind, Lord, as though we can't see, tongues that can't taste, ears that can't hear, Lord. But we want them, O God, under control of Your Word. So as Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what we want for every single person here this morning, God. Every single man, woman, child, we don't care. We don't worry about names, position, or anything else. We just worry about people, oh God. And I pray, oh God, this morning, that account has been given unto You for the people's souls, Lord God in heaven. And it's worth rejoicing, Lord God, rejoicing on that great day, the great day which is even now, because time and eternity running together. We come more and more into Thy fullness, O God, the fullness You have for each one of us. I don't know how to express myself, Lord. I only know one thing. And I know that people got only one hope, the same hope I've got, and that's the Spirit within us, praying with groanings which cannot be uttered, reaching through, O Christ, to You, Thou man of God who died and rose again as our intercessor. Hear the Spirit groaning within us today, directed to You. Pass upon it, grant our request. More like You day by day. More word released and living until the life is of Christ. Bless our people, Lord, as they're going home. Give them safety and journey, Lord. Well-being, O God. Leaving here, Lord, changed in the very concepts of the mind going down to the very atoms, Lord. Father, may not one of us miss the rapture. May not one of us, Lord, have any ill feeling toward anybody. May we just stand with the word and declare that word impassionately as the great judge, because that's the truth of it. Let the word judge, Lord. Let us stand with the truth today. Father, unto thee we commend and commit ourselves. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.